One, two, three. Good morning, Tucson. Happy Monday to you. Welcome to this kickoff to your week here on the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser. As every day, Monday through Friday, we share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, we debate, we discuss the issues and themes critical towards getting us there. Our stance on this show is that of a coach. We love our team. We love our place. But we can't necessarily cheerlead our way to success. We need to be clear-eyed about the assets of our community, what our history brings, but what our future requires, and some of the things that we need to adjust, the changes we need to make, and the issues we need to tackle to reach our best possible future. And the more I think about the show and where it's going and where it's come from, to me, that's the hat that makes sense. You're going to hear today just some of the exciting potential of our community, but it's not going to be at the expense of tackling the core issues that we need to tackle. And that is really a theme for today's show. Let me set it up for you, and we will get going. Again, I'm your host, Zach Yenser, and I'm excited to be with you today. We're going to welcome in just a second our new innovation and entrepreneurship contributor to the show, Carol Stewart. She's the Associate Vice President for Tech Parks Arizona, and we're going to talk about the state of the innovation ecosystem in the region. And then Louis Christensen, curator of the Twitter blog, The Dirty Tea, comes in to talk about nostalgia, echo chambers, and intergenerational partnerships in Tucson. Another really smart young guy in town that really has a pulse of some of the underlying issues and opportunities here in our community. 790-2040 is your live line opportunity to call in with a question or a comment. And I really hope you do, because I got to tell you, just honestly and authentically here for a minute, the reason I do live radio is because of you, is because of callers. We could have some of these great conversations. We could do all this in a podcast format. We could sit in a great Joe Rogan type room and have a great time, and then you'd get to hear about it a week or two later. One of the key reasons why I am bullish about being on in this platform is because we get to talk together about these issues through our live line, 790-2040. So you being a part of this show every day is the reason why you hear me from 10 to 12 every day, Monday through Friday. It is truly because of you. That's what makes live radio special. 790-2040. Carol Stewart, Associate Vice President for Tech Parks Arizona. Welcome back to the studio. Thank you for being here. I'm excited about this one.
Thank you. Happy Monday.
So there are probably few people in my mind in town, honestly, that have as daily of a pulse of where our innovation and entrepreneurship ecosystem is going than yourself, not only from a global level, how it impacts Tucson and our region, but again, as Associate Vice President for Tech Parks Arizona. So I wanted to get a bit of an update on the ground of what you're up to, and then also step back and kind of take a 20 or 30,000 foot look at what we call the ecosystem. How are we doing? What's getting in the way of success? How do we get there? So I'm looking forward to it.
Great, me too.
So let's start a little bit nitty gritty. The University of Arizona Center for Innovation recently changed the name, as I'm aware. What was behind that change, and why did it go from AZCI, Arizona Center for Innovation, to UACI?
So really, it's always been the University of Arizona Incubator. And it's operated out at Reeder Road at the UA Tech Park since 2003. Really kind of ahead of its time for incubators.
Most people don't know that.
It's true. It's true. To date, through the operation of the park, we have been able to fund the incubator on behalf of the University of Arizona. You know, everything we do is to the benefit of the university, to the tune of about $5 million. So it was really time, you know, coming in. It was a time of change when I came in and took over this role. So that's one of the things that we wanted to change out of the gate was it should be branded properly, which is UA Center for Innovation. We also have a number of expansions that are going to be happening within Tucson proper. but centered around UACI.
I think that's one of the things that I hear out and about quite a bit, speaking to branding.
Out and about, that's so Canadian. I love it.
I don't say it like you, but...
Sounds the same to me.
Oh, man. Tucson has a Canadian invasion, let me tell you right now. It's the best thing ever. Some of the Canadian entrepreneurs and business people that are coming into Tucson right now is outstanding. And I haven't met a Canadian yet that isn't doing something impactful in Tucson. I just have yet to see it, Carol Stewart. But out and about, I'm automatically
Canadian. We're going to have fun here today, right? Is that okay?
Of course. Oh, man. I'll be Canadian for an hour. It's great. Is you have Tech Launch Arizona. You have Tech Parks Arizona. You have AZCI, formerly now University of Arizona Center for Innovation. And those, as Eric Smith, and we'll get to him a little bit later, really succinctly described, those three are connected along a continuum. But I think a lot of the community doesn't understand that brand yet. And maybe I'm just behind, because this was new to me as of last week, how he explained it.
Sure.
Do you want to recap that real quick and kind of the connection of incubation, mentorship, and launching that the U of A has put together that you're a part of?
Sure. So, I mean, it really starts at ideation, which is really the university element. That's where it happens in our research, in our labs, and in student dorms. And so that's the idea stage, ideation. And then really TLA kicks in. So that's really our commercialization vehicle. So if, you know, you go and disclose and you let you know, the professionals know that are embedded in the university, that you have this idea, you'd like to move it forward into a business and into the marketplace. We also have on the student side, I know that the Forge has a student element. You know, that's coming out of the ground. It's not out of the ground. It's being recast from its historical building to the Forge. There's a element there where industry and students collide. That's going to be opening first week of December, I believe. So that's super exciting. Then we move into really looking at incubation, and that's where UACI comes in. And then you know, there are some gaps in our ecosystem, and one of them that I've identified from my experiences in Waterloo, and internationally, is when companies graduate, where do they go? What's that graduation space look like? Because startups still want to cohabitate. Those CEOs still have problems that they want to share with other CEOs that are in the same space that they're in. And so we need to build that out. And then there's scaling, which is really, you know, the tech park element. So that's really the continuum that we work with. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that the university play an underlying role to underwrite all of that. We're the longest standing citizens in any community, along with the churches, universities and churches. And so we're here for the long run. Interviewing with Dr. Robbins when I came in, now with Dr. Betsy Cantwell
right,
on board,
right.
They live and breathe, and they sing the right message that the university is going to underwrite this. There's lots of room for everybody. So anybody who's on the private sector that wants to play in this field, they're more than welcome to. We'll all work together. But you know, it's not for the faint of heart, working with startups.
For sure. Had a good listener question.
Sure.
And when it comes to innovation and entrepreneurship, I have to be careful because the sector has its own language that is a little bit out of the mainstream,
sure.
I would say. And a couple of those words are ecosystem,
sure.
And incubation or an incubator. So one of our callers asked if you could give the 30-second definition
of an
incubator. What does that mean?
So
in
starting
this sector?
At I'm gonna take charge. Sorry, I'm a
Great.
Little bossy when it comes.
That's okay. This is your show more than mine right now.
Let's start with ecosystem. So really, that's the network. That's the continuum. That's the network that's created. So in that network, there's lots of different elements. And so there's incubators and there's accelerators. And people very often get those two confused. And incubators are really for, so ideation is really for that really early stage when you have an idea, it's on the back of a napkin, you have no funding, that is ideation. That is where you need a facility and programs that are heavily funded and heavily subsidized. Then you move into incubation. Incubation is when you have a proven concept, You've, you know, probably done some market analysis, some market verification. You have some F3 money. We call that friends, family, and fool money. So you have a little bootstrapping F3 money that you can go into a program. You can pay for rent. You can pay for programming. Pay to be a client in an environment where there's support to help elevate you and speed your line to success. And then acceleration. If you go into an accelerator program, that's typically something that has a time limit. So there's a start date. You're part of a cohort. There's typically quite a bit of investment, anywhere from probably $40,000 to $100,000. And then of investment, that is very focused on scaling companies. So companies that are probably about $1 million, maybe even $500,000, but that have a real scaling potential. And then for that $40,000 to $100,000, there's equity taken in the company.
Got it.
Hope that helps.
Yes, no, that was a great definition. And as you were saying, the university, even in the last couple of years, in your mind, has really said, we're going to be intentional about being a part of this entire continuum, this entire spectrum.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's big. And I know you've been on this show before, but it was a bit ago. Carol Stewart, the Associate Vice President for Tech Parks Arizona, has experience in working really around the world with kind of that university, public sector, private sector collaboration to spur entrepreneurship and economic growth and innovation in a community. We're going to get to this later, but sure. you came here really about a year and a half ago from Waterloo.
January 1st.
January 1st. Man,
I know.
It feels longer in a good way.
I was going to say, I wasn't sure where that was going.
No, it feels longer in a good way. I know that sounds weird, but it just seems like you've been here much longer, which I think is a good thing. But since January 1st, and you were Toronto's kind of Phoenix as to Waterloo.
Absolutely.
as Tucson is to, I think my listeners understand it. It's my Monday rambling.
So I came from Waterloo, Ontario,
yep.
An hour west of Toronto. So really in the shadow of the big sister Toronto, and Tucson is very much that little sister to Phoenix as well. I agree.
Yeah. So we're going to get into that, how that applies.
Sure.
But you have experience working with groups internationally,
yeah,
on developing this ecosystem, this continuum. So you're no newbie to this. And I think Tucson is really lucky to have you. Really, really, really lucky to have you.
Oh, thank you.
So as part of that Canadian invasion, let's get into one more kind of nitty gritty item for sure before we go to our first break. Tucson has seen a 90% leap in our tech workforce. Now, it's easy to have that big of a jump when you start from something that's really tiny.
With little numbers,
right?
Yes.
So statistics help us to compare,
sure,
apples to apples, oranges to oranges, so
yep,
it's important. There's 15,000, we have a 15,000 person strong, what they call tech workforce now in Tucson. That's grown by 90% in 5 years. So imagine 5 years ago, it was just a minimal fraction of that. I've been wanting to talk to somebody who could speak to what are some of the themes behind that leap. My hunch has been that it's been transfer growth,
mm-hmm,
but Carol Stewart might have a different knowledge on that than I do. How did we grow by 90% that you can see in 5 years?
Sure, and again, this is coming from my analysis of the numbers that I saw in the report. I don't have the history, the legacy here in Tucson proper. But from what I've learned since January 1st is there's a couple of things that have lined up, and when I came in and did my due diligence on Tucson, there was a lot of these elements that I saw that were in place that I think were teeing Tucson up for success. We're at the top of the wave right now on something that's pretty exciting. So looking at the numbers, I think one of the things is that the numbers that put us at this emerging small market tech talent communities is that it was really coincided with the strong start of TLA, Tech Launch Arizona. So really focusing their efforts. They started in 2013, really got rocking and rolling in 2014, 2015, and really then formalized this effort of bringing research off the shelves in the university and helping it get to the marketplace. So I think that's a huge element that, when we look at the timing, that it's really significant. We've done some analysis lately on just on the UA Center for Innovation and the companies that we've helped in the past. And, you know, we look back at all the funding that they've received, and 72% of the funds that they have received have happened in the last 5 years. Mm. And the center itself has been around since 2003. So there was definitely this organic activity happening, and, you know, for us to wrap programs around it and to embrace it and start, you know, putting conscious efforts behind it, will just accelerate it even more. Another really interesting, so the top five cities that are in the small market, tech emerging communities, it's really interesting. I looked at the list, and I'm like, all of them have research and technology parks. So that, you know, that are university based. And so Tucson was at the top of the list. Hamilton, Ontario, which is really a triangle from Waterloo to Hamilton. How so about Toronto that? Is a triangle. It's affiliated with McMaster University. Their park is about 12 years old. Waterloo Region was third on the list. And I was the founding director of that research park.
See what I'm saying?
Las Vegas. I was there for the groundbreaking of Las Vegas. They have a new tech park, university, led by a Canadian, by the way. The president is a Canadian from Montreal. And Des Moines, Iowa, again, has a very well-renowned university-based tech park. So I thought that was a really interesting element as well.
Very interesting. And from what you have been able to see, and if you haven't been able to dig this deep, that's completely fine. I think we're all in Tucson trying to discover here. If you're looking at the tech park side of it, then from what you've said,
sure,
do you feel like there is that organic growth going? I guess what I've been trying to figure out is that, for example, because the CBRE study uses a very wide range definition of tech,
sure,
workers. It's not just kind of your app or even innovation sector per se. And so I've often wondered, is that because we gained Caterpillar? Is that because, you know, we've gained companies in that aren't quite yet hiring within Tucson? Are they bringing that talent from other parts of the country? Or is this just an exponential increase from TechLodge Arizona, from Startup Tucson, from some of those things organically? It sounds like there's definitely an organic piece to this, if that makes sense to everyone listening. Organic meaning it comes from Tucson, out of kind of nowhere.
Homegrown. Yeah.
Is that what you're seeing?
I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, Caterpillar's influx of you know, engineering and you know, knowledge worker jobs is huge. So that's absolutely part of it. Is that, you know, does that contribute to the 90%? Absolutely. But is it the majority? I don't think so.
No, we're talking a few hundred people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, it's really about growth too. We look at the companies in the tech park, out at Rita Road. There's 6,000 knowledge workers and 50 tech companies out there. And we have four or five companies right now that we're helping them manage through growth. So we're building space for them. They're growing. They're hiring. And so, you know, so that's the homegrown piece that contributes to those numbers at the same time.
Absolutely. You know, when that study came out, you know, I wanted to say, look, this is what we need to be talking about as a community. We don't talk about what you and I are talking about right now enough.
Yeah.
We kind of lean on the tried and true Tucson stuff of tourism and food and culture. And by all means, that needs to continue to stay, and that doesn't need to go anywhere. We need to keep talking about
it. Absolutely.
But I mean, come on. I mean, there's, you know, the Tech Parks Arizona, if I'm remembering correctly, is celebrating 25 years.
Correct.
It's the oldest and one of the best incubators in our entire state, right down the road, and no one talks about it, and no one knows it, and it should be talked about. I should be hearing about it in the news 6-7 times a week.
Five
times
agree.
A week in
completely.
My opinion. Well, I'm rooting for that, and it doesn't. So, I mean, this is why these conversations are good, because we have some of these things bubbling up. But if we don't talk about it, it doesn't have the same momentum.
Exactly. And you know, it's we have to get the community to a place where, you know, they can finish our sentences when we start talking about UA Center for Innovation, the tech park. What the university is doing, the Forge downtown.
Right.
I mean, everybody needs to have an understanding of that, because the ripple effect is positive for everyone.
Right. which is where we're going to go in our second segment. It was a great segue because one of the reasons why I'm really excited to have Carol Stewart, Associate VP for Tech Parks Arizona, as a frequent innovation entrepreneurship contributor is that as someone who has been in Tucson less than a year, Carol can see the potential, but is also a no BS partner in the process. And this is me editorializing in the sense of you've seen it, you've done it, you've washed, you've rinsed, you've repeated. Yeah. You know what a good ecosystem looks like. You know what the gaps are. And I just feel that your presence in Tucson isn't going to cheerlead us out of our potential, that I think you're going to be able to lead the hard conversations about what's great and where we need to go. So that's where, if you'll do us the honor, Carol Stewart, where we're going to go in the second segment.
Great.
We'll talk about a recent hire that you just made that ties into all this. And then your team just came back from the Toronto area.
That's right.
And I want to know, what are some of the lessons that we can learn from a community that's 10 years ahead of us, right? What can we learn? What can help us here? So if you're listening, we're going to get nitty gritty into Tucson's opportunities and potential on the other side of the break. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Don't go away. Tucson, welcome back to this Monday Creative City show here on 1030 The Voice. It is trusted local news and talk. You bring the trust in local listening. We do our best to bring high quality news and talk. And we're with Carol Stewart, Associate Vice President for Tech Parks Arizona, a new innovation and entrepreneurship contributor here on the show, keeping us up to date on what's happening in the region. Tucson has assets in these areas that have been around for a quarter of a century. I think this show, hopefully, is one of hopefully more venues that get an opportunity to showcase and storytell this, because it really is amazing. Carol Stewart, let's get into it by starting here. UACI, which you described why the change from name, just hired a new executive director. Eric Smith came over from Tech Launch Arizona, one of these kind of momentum creators you were speaking about. What was your goal with the hire? What are you anticipating? And then we'll get into the little field trip that you guys took about a week ago.
Sure. So we did we put a call out for an executive director. It was always part of the plans when I landed, when I did a deep dive into the whole makeup of the Campus Research Corporation team. That's the team that runs the arm's length not-for-profit organization that runs the tech park and the incubator for the benefit of the university. And that was one of the things I saw. The team was overburdened. An executive director needed to come in, and we really needed to strike a path forward strategically for UACI. I know it pivoted many times in the past. And again, I think I hinted that, it was before its time a little bit. So it, like a startup, it needed to try lots of different things and pivot and learn from its mistakes and find new directions. But I'm really excited right now to have, and we did a full search, an international search. We had 100 resumes, approximately just under 100 resumes, land in our inbox from all over North America. We had a couple international, and we landed on Eric Smith, our local candidate out of the final pool. And he really came in with the right attitude. We think that the relationship with TLA is really important moving forward. He understands the network that it takes, the village that it takes to raise a strong startup. And he really shone above a lot of other people that were going to bring ideas in from other areas, which is valuable, I hope, anyways, because I'm one of those. But we felt that Eric is in for the long haul, and we're really looking forward to his excitement about the role and building UACI, on behalf of the university to be super impactful for this community.
I love it, and Eric is a young guy too. I mean, he has a long-term history with the city. He's been in the environment for a while. I'm the executive director of Tucson Young Professionals. And when I talk to young people, I say, look, Tucson's a great place. If you can, stick it out long haul, because you can accelerate your career and your purpose faster if you commit to the city and not just ask, what can Tucson do for me, but what can I do for Tucson?
That's right.
Eric Smith, to me, is the poster child.
Absolutely.
He's a few years older than I am. He has put his time in and has been rewarded by the Tucson community. So I'm excited for him.
I'm excited for him too.
Yeah.
We all had a break in our careers, and I don't think that, you know, we're giving him any favors, but we have a lot of faith in Eric. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, you and Eric and a few others just returned from the Toronto area. We talked in the first segment that really you took a Tucson-type environment from 0 to 100 almost in your career, and the Toronto's version of Tucson, if you will. You just went there into the Toronto area to see what an ecosystem 10, 15, 20 years ahead
sure.
looks like. Carol Stewart has conversations about putting big girl pants on. Carol Stewart has hard conversations and doesn't beat around the bush. And so I was excited to have her in studio on the heels of that trip to say, you know, what are we looking at that's really going well in Tucson that we can keep pushing? What are the gaps? What are the things that we need to really be trying to fill to make this an ecosystem that is thriving for everybody? So I'm excited for your update.
Great. So I had the team, the executive team, which was my CFOO, my director of facilities and construction, Eric, our executive director of UACI, and we had Uwe Hilgert from Bio5 join us as well. He heard about the trip, and he's like, can I tag along? And I'm like, absolutely. So it was great to have a UW embedded yeah. person there as well. So the five of us were up in Waterloo the first week of August, and we were in Waterloo for 2 days, and then we went to Toronto for a day. And yes, we finished it off with a Blue Jays versus Yankees baseball game. But that was the only downtime I had planned. About a day and a half in, the team was like, "You didn't put bathroom breaks in here." So I worked them pretty hard. We started out with, and it was funny because the first morning, Eric looked at me and he's like, "We're done." By noon the first day, he's like, "We're done. That was so valuable. We can pack up and go home right now, and it was worth the trip." So,
and you're like, "But wait, there's more."
I'm like, "But wait, yeah, 2.5 more days." But really, it was some of their observations, and I had them actually do this exercise for me to share internally at UA. Is that you know, really kind of give me your top three takeaways, and I'm happy to share those with you. One of the ones was that the university was all in. At the University of Waterloo, we dove into that pretty deeply. I'll give you.
Oh, great.
Of what we did. Innovation, commercialization, and startups are actually embedded in the culture of the entire region. Success of corporate innovation centers was very, very impactful. We deep dove into that the very first morning. Lots of place options in the region, but it's all about talent. So it's really not about the bricks and mortar. It's about the talent. That's what keeps CEOs awake at night. And it's really about grooming that talent. And that drives all the decisions. Levels of the donors, either for buildings, programs, you know, those champions, those boosters in our community, all engaged at multiple levels. Waterloo itself was home of the BlackBerry. Okay, let's all take a moment, a little tear. And
moment of silence.
Moment of silence.
The ubiquitous BlackBerry that now is what? What was that?
Exactly. But you know what? It created a number of billionaires in our community back in Waterloo. Created a lot of millionaires as well from employee share programs. And a lot of that talent, even though it went from 13,000 down to about 1,200 people, a lot of those people that weren't traveling in from Toronto, let's say, stayed in the community because of the startup ecosystem that could absorb them. One of the things that was very prevalent as well was the student engagement. So, you know, I always talk about the top of the funnel, and my hands are waving right now. You can't see that on radio, but the top of the funnel. We need capacity yep. when it comes to startups because you have to start with a lot to get the successful ones coming out the end of the funnel. And whether that's through co-op education, so that experiential learning, where students get exposed to startups, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of startups, whether that's the Velocity program, where we walked in and the team was blown away. There was probably 120 students in the pit that were all working on their startup ideas, and they were just blown away by that. And so every school, engineering, science, pharmaceutical, they all have their own Velocity program. And so they have their playground, basically, for startups. And then the co-op program itself is a way for students to have that experiential learning in industry and also in startups. And they go to school for 4 months, and then they work for 4 months. And they alternate that throughout their entire education. So they graduate with 2 years of experience, which is what industry wants. They want they want grads with experience. And they also get paid for all of those co-op terms. And so there's 20,000 students that work with 7,000 companies around the world that that employ them and test drive them. So it so the students get to test drive the companies, and the companies get to test drive the students. And that also drives entrepreneurship. Because after three co-op terms, these students are saying, you know what? Big industry is not for me. I think I've got a great idea, or I've identified a problem that I think I can find a solution to. And our first unicorn in the incubator in Waterloo came out of that. He had three terms at BlackBerry, and he took, he says, you know what? I found this great technology, this gap in your technology. And he said, BlackBerry, do you want this? And they said, they did the due diligence and they said, no, you take it, knock your socks off. And he became the first unicorn, which is, again, a terminology, a definition item, is the first billion-dollar evaluated company out of our incubator. And that's KIK, KIK. It's a messaging app, and they are officially worth over $1 billion, and they're located in Waterloo.
That's
and
a
that
game
was
changer.
That was all because of the co-op experience.
Wow.
Some of the other some of the other things was the buzz. That was another item that came up, and this was Eric's actually. He goes, he couldn't believe the buzz when you went into these ecosystems. It was the buzz that was created, and all you thought was, I want to be here. You know, I got a startup. I need to be here.
I call it the collisionable space.
Absolutely.
You get enough, you get a density of people and ideas literally and figuratively banging into each other.
Exactly.
Magic happens.
Absolutely.
It's science.
It is science. It is science.
Everything
it's not serendipity. It's very purposeful.
Very purposeful.
Yeah.
And the design of those spaces to make that happen has to also be purposeful.
Exactly. Spaces and programming.
Yep.
To make that happen. It's, absolutely.
Yep. It's very intentional.
And they also found the similarities between Waterloo and Tucson.
Okay.
Again, you know, being exposed to Toronto, very much similar to Phoenix, you know, big sister, little sister, but having that university at the center of the ecosystem, you know, and Waterloo's half the size of Tucson. So I mean, it's still substantially smaller than Tucson, but having that golden nugget of the university at the center of it all is a similarity that they saw, and they made them quite hopeful.
Speaking of that point, Carol, this number excites me and frustrates me to the same levels at the same time. Tucson is the 33rd largest city in the entire US of A, right? So you just said Waterloo is half the size. Tucson is the 33rd largest city in the entire country, right? If places like Des Moines,
that's
Waterloo,
right.
Can do this. Tucson has
Lincoln,
more.
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Has more. Lincoln, Nebraska. Right? If flyover country can do this,
absolutely.
Then the 33rd largest city in the country can. We have so much untapped potential.
I agree.
What was one of the gaps that you discovered? I know we have a little bit of a time buffer. We're hitting up on 10:40 already, and I want to make sure that I'm. Like you and I said, we could do 2 hours of this. I know you have a little bit of a timing theme today. What was one of the gaps? What did your team come back and say, if we can work on this one thing, you know, what's a nitty-gritty strategy or tactic that your team came back and said, if we do this one thing in Tucson, we'll be that much further ahead as they look at a city that's 10, 15 years ahead of ours?
I think really, there's a number of things. So collaboration. We need to all start singing from the same song sheet. Collaboration came out loud and clear. And it was also the support. And that happens through, you know, all levels of government. And this came up with the SALC leadership meeting that we had last Friday on innovation economy in Tucson, is that, you know, we need to start seeing lots of skin in the game from our municipal governments, our regional governments, our state government. And we'll stop there. I mean, we can access federal funding. We can go off after that. But we have to put our own dollars in first. And we should be thinking about getting nationally matched dollars for each one of those, and taking $1 and turning it into $2 and $3 specifically for building this ecosystem. And that gets people on the same page. That gets people talking, you know, and finishing each other's sentences. The fellows couldn't get over that. in Waterloo and Toronto, and complimentary of each. When you know, we said that we were going to Mars Discovery District in Waterloo, they were like, "Oh, you got to go see that place. It's magnificent." When we're in, you know, the DMZ from Ryerson in Toronto, we said, we spent last day and a half in Waterloo. They're like, "That is a magnificent model." You know, just really working together and collaborating, even outside of our cities, our own city, our own region. I think we're a little ways away from that. But if we can get that sort of feeling and collaboration here locally, and really get focused on that university economic development or tech-based economic development, that's going to leapfrog us substantially.
I mean, the private sector, no doubt, has a huge role to play in this, but most people that I talk to don't realize how critical the university and public sector, right, that local municipal government is to this process. Not to own it, not to, you know, fully create it, not to have arms around the whole pie.
Exactly.
But show me an ecosystem that hasn't scaled and thrived without the university and the public government sector being involved, at least at the very beginning.
Doesn't exist. No. Nope.
This is a new concept to Tucson.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've felt the same way. Yeah. I'm going to editorialize because I own the mic for 2 hours. This is a new concept to Tucson.
Yeah.
We're in an adolescent phase when it comes to understanding cross-sector partnership. I'm convinced.
I agree. And this came out loud and clear in Friday session. This was one of the areas that needs to be focused on, and SALC has a role. They can lobby this
innovation focus area on Friday.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So that's one of the areas that, you know, I threw that out as a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal, is to see that kind of improved area. And lots of people jumped on that. So that was confirmation. Even Fletcher McCusker was raising a fist, pumping a fist on that one. But it's really, but you know, I have a lot of faith in this region, because as an example, we're collaborating in Oro Valley and on a life science bio-based incubator up in Oro Valley. The town of Oro Valley has come to the table with matching funds from Pima County in a significant way. And it's for programming, it's for operations. They are putting some skin in the game, because they know the return on that is tax dollars, it's companies growing and potentially staying and landing in their backyard. Mm-hmm. So this is the kind of attitude and untethered money that needs to be put into the ecosystem, because you, like you said, you can't control it, you can't put your arms around it, you've just got to let it go and make it happen.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to I was saying this last week, that it's always encouraging to hear some of my gut hunches be validated by people who actually know what they're doing and actually know what they're talking about. And this is one of those, you know, moments. I was trying to muddle through last week, you know, some of the disappointing news along the entrepreneurship journey, and there's way more failures than successes. Pima County has invested in a couple of high-tech industry leaders, and it hasn't been a lot of ribbon cutting and you know, cheers yet in terms of the success of it. But I was saying, look, it's not a bad thing that our local jurisdictions are starting to swing at some of these things. We got to get our KPIs right, our key performance indicators. We have to make sure that we're incentivizing the right things, that we're not making mistakes, that we're wise with the money, that we're not wasting taxpayer dollars. But it is not a bad thing to see our local institutions starting to swing for the fences on some of these things.
Absolutely.
It's a seed of what is to come, and it's hard in the beginning. But if we can grow our risk muscle in Tucson, that's to our benefit. Would you agree, Carol Stewart?
I agree completely. And, you know, none of these are overnight successes. You know, people used to talk about, oh, this BlackBerry, where'd it come from? This overnight success. BlackBerry was 20 years old before it had the success of worldwide recognition. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this stuff is not, like I said, right from the beginning, this is not for the faint of heart.
Right.
And, you know, we have to educate our partners, whether they're corporate partners, municipal partners, state partners. We have to educate them on the timelines that you have to expect. Yep. They're not overnight home runs.
Nope. Last little nugget before we say goodbye to Carol Stewart, Associate Vice President for Tech Parks Arizona. You brought this up. I didn't.
Uh-oh.
You said Tucson needs more housing. And I went, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Because I did not realize that I pulled his string, everybody.
Oh,
I pulled
you
the
pulled
string
the string. Between what we were just talking about and this, I have to be like, I can't harp on this. I've done it 3 times this week already. I can't say it again. I gotta diversify my content here on the radio. But you're finding what we're all starting to find is Tucson doesn't have the diversity and options and opportunity for housing that we need to have to make all this work.
Well, I think we want to, you know, another topic that came up was how do we attract talent from outside the region to Tucson? You know, we want to create all these startup companies, but you also need, you need young engineers, you need young engineers and scientists, but you also need middle management. And so, you know, that's easier for us to even focus on versus young people at this point in Tucson's history. But you got to make sure that everything's in place before you start going and inviting world-class talent to Tucson. So, which I don't put myself in that category, but I personally have had challenges coming to Tucson. And, you know, just, you know, talking to the real estate market, and I, you know, I call people up and I'm like, hey, I'm really interested in this listing of this condo, you know, and they're like, oh, you're looking for secondary investment property. I'm like, no, I'm looking for a primary residence.
I want somewhere to live.
And they're like, well, you need to go see it right now because I already have 3 offers on it.
Yep.
And I had a bad experience already. I actually, 4 days before my closing, my condo was sold out from under me. So, you know, we need to have supply. So we need to have an inventory, which I understand is at almost a historic low right now.
Yeah.
But we need to be building downtown, uptown, out of town. We need to have options for these different you know, target markets that we're trying to attract to Tucson. It's almost a no-brainer when somebody has real estate in California. And you can say, you know what, sell your real estate, come out here, and you know we're gonna have a great product for you, as far as where you live, the schools that you go to, but we got to deliver on that.
Carol Stewart, a voice from a successful future, hearkening back and saying, come this way, come this way, come this way. Thank you so much. I can hardly sit in my seat, and it's only partially because of the coffee. Carol Stewart, Associate Vice President for Tech Parks Arizona. Thank you for sharing with us some of the recent news going on in your world, and how our city and our region can continue to thrive as an innovation and entrepreneurship community. We'll see you again soon. Thank you for your time. Have a great Monday.
Awesome. Thank you.
Tucson, we're going to go to our final break of the hour. Say adios to Carol Stewart. Louis Christensen just walked by the studio, so he's in for 11 o'clock. A lot more coming at you today as we kick off the week talking Tucson. We do it every day here on the Creative City Show. You're on 1030 The Voice. Come back in a minute. Tucson, welcome back to the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser. We just wrapped up our conversation with Carol Stewart, the Associate Vice President for Tech Parks Arizona. And in the best way possible, I don't know how to say this in any other way, I said, boy, it feels like you've been here a long time. And she was like, oh, is that a bad thing? Because she's only been here since January 1st. And we had her on the show mid-January for the first time. This was even back when the show was a weekend show. And she called in from out of the country. Her dedication is incredible. And we had her in studio today talking about some of the recent news and hires and efforts out of Tech Parks Arizona, University of Arizona Center for Innovation, all of that. And we landed in the second segment, if you tuned in either in the middle of it or right at the end here before we went to break. Her and her team, about 5 or 6 of them, went to Toronto in the Waterloo region. Toronto, Ontario is kind of like Phoenix. Waterloo is kind of like Tucson, a smaller university-centered community. But her experience is blowing up Waterloo on the tech and entrepreneurship scene. I mean, she developed a tech park out there. It was university-driven. She has seen success. She's washed, she's rinsed, she's repeated. And she worked with over 200 innovation, what we call ecosystems around the world, through a tech park association. So she is not a theorist. She is experienced in the field. I don't know how else to tell this to you. This is not cordial radio host hyping up a guest. This is a true professional that the University of Arizona snagged here in Tucson. And she is just singing so many of the tunes that we sing here together every day on the Creative City Show. And to me, she's a voice from 10 years down the road saying, guys, this is what thriving looks like. This is what a flourishing community looks like. This is how you get there. Let's go in that direction. It gives me chills to talk about it. And I could not sit in my seat. I was barely maintaining composure because she validated, without this being any part of the planned conversation, so many of the themes that we talked about. I mean, this is a top executive at a top university in the 33rd largest city in the country. And she's telling me during a break, Zach, I can't find a place to live. Right? And I said, well, I've been told so many times, Carol, drive to qualify, right? If you drive out far enough, you can find a place. And she goes, it doesn't cut it anymore. It doesn't cut it for me. It doesn't cut it for the talent that I'm trying to attract. It doesn't cut it for the mid-level management. It doesn't cut it for the tech talent. We don't have the diversity. We don't have the supply. We don't have the amount that we need. Having less than 3,000 homes on the MLS is no longer good enough, right? Having 1.8 months of supply where we should be at 3, 4, or 5 is not good enough. Now, I understand the market forces, right? You can't just flip a switch and go build, right? Our costs are too high. The demand quite hasn't met even the tipping point where it needs to be. I'm not naive to that. But when we talk about housing on this show, right, we're talking about a direct correlation to whether or not Tucson can keep and attract the talent and workforce that it needs to thrive, period. End of story. You cannot have the tech conversation. You cannot have the growth conversation. You cannot have the success conversation if you aren't talking about housing and if you're not getting housing right. I don't know how else to say it, but it fired me up. Because for how many years on this show have we been talking about that? It's multiple at this point. This is a critical conversation that we have to have. It's why I am dedicated to co-chairing an effort out of the Downtown Tucson Partnership called the Urban Housing Accessibility Task Force, where we're going to do data-driven research and study on when we talk about increasing our housing supply in especially the downtown core and area. It's not the only area we need to do it, but it's an area, and I'm heavily involved in it. What does that mean? What does that look like? And again, this is the words unplanned from a woman who has seen 10 years down the road of what Tucson very likely can and will be and says, we got to get this aspect right. Because if she can't find housing, friends, if she can't find housing, the rest of us are out in the dark, right? I mean, again, this is a top level executive in our community, and she is struggling to find the supply, the diversity, the type, and the area where she wants to live. Now, don't get me wrong here, right? Tech Parks Arizona is out in Vail, right? We're not talking some downtown office. We're talking, you know, from where we sit today in studio, it's a 20-minute drive to Tech Parks Arizona, right? So this is, it's not like she came in from some high-rise downtown. That's not where she works. And she's still struggling to find the housing that she needs. The other exciting thing, of course, is if we don't get that topic right, it's one thing. If we aren't getting our talent acquisition right, companies follow talent. Entrepreneurship follows talent. Innovation follows talent. If we're not making sure that all the pieces are in place, infrastructure, quality of life, job diversity and opportunity, education, if we're not putting the pieces together to keep and attract talent, we're going to continue to have the same old conversations that quite honestly we've been having for 100 years in Tucson. The conversations we have today in this city we've been having for 100 years. We're experts in those conversations. What we don't seem to be experts in is in the future forward and the right conversations to craft a city that is flourishing in the 21st century. And I mean, you can hear it in my voice. I am fired up after that interview with Carol Stewart. So if you're sitting there and you're like, what the heck is this guy talking about? I just tuned in at 10:45. I don't know what's going on. Go to kvoi.com/podcasts. Listen to the replay of it, or go to iTunes or Google Play Music. Listen to the first 50 minutes. You can ignore my part. Listen to the first 50 minutes of the interview and message me on Facebook. Email me at thecreativecityshow@gmail.com and tell me what you think. Well, that closes out our first hour. This has been Zach Yenser, your host on The Creative City Show, talking about people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. We'll be back with Louis Christensen of The Dirty Tea to talk more Tucson in the 11 o'clock hour. Don't go away. We'll be right back.